Oh God in heaven, we thank you for this evening, and we thank you for all of our blessings, which are more than we can count. We thank you especially for the blessings of the Spirit, that you have put us in a safe place, your Son, Jesus Christ, and in his church, in the heavenly places. But we know that the devil wants to tear us down from there, and he wants to bring us down to his level. Help us, O God, to resist that temptation and to keep our minds set on the things that are in heaven where Christ is seated at your right hand. And we know that part of the process of doing that is opening up the brief message you've given to us and reading it and thinking about it and living it. So help us to do that here, Father. Our community needs to know the truth of Jesus Christ. And we know that you made us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So if we live as you teach us to live, it will have an influence on those around us. So help us always to be mindful of how we're living. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, so these two chapters are just pretty much about just all the kings that are coming into Israel and Judah. Okay, so we have Abijam or Abijah, you might have in some of your translations, verses 1 through 8 of chapter 15. In the 18th year of King Rehoboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maachah, the granddaughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father. Who was his father? Rehoboam. Which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem, by setting up his son after him and by establishing Jerusalem. Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. So Abijam rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. Sometimes when I read something about, like this man here, I think, well, first of all, how much of an honor would it be to have your name in the Bible? Can you imagine that? Imagine if you opened up the Bible and you saw Chris Meyer, or I saw Don Rule, or Karen saw Karen Fitzwater. Wow. But what if you're Abijam? To his shame, his name's in the Bible. Because it doesn't say anything good about him. And I think that's just sad. Not that anything bad was done against him, that's just the way he lived. So, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about him. I got basically three things out of this text. That he continued the reign of David. That his reign was short. How short was it?
3 years.
3 years. And that he sinned. What a legacy. And the problem is he didn't match up to who? David. Remember, David's the standard. And Jeroboam will be the, well, I hate to say standard. What word would you use to describe Jeroboam? It's like he's the comparison in some way for the northern kingdom. You were a good king if you followed in the steps of David, but you were a bad king if you followed in the steps of Jeroboam, which basically all the kings of Israel were. Pardon?
A low bar.
Yes, he was the low bar and David was the high bar. Okay, yeah, there we go. All right. Okay, so since Rehoboam and Abijam lived sinful lives, why did the Lord allow them to reign?
Verse 4 says it's for David's sake.
It's all about David's sake. Now, what does that mean exactly? Okay, so because of the kind of man David was, God said, here's a promise I make to you. And he's keeping it. God's going to keep his word even if man sins. Chris, did you have your...
I was just reading into what she said about by setting up his son after him and by establishing Jerusalem. So it's kind of like for David, sometimes you got to go through a few... bad apple
before you get
to a good apple again. Yeah, right. So it's trying to just get through the family line.
Okay.
Skip a generation.
And it's kind of like the Lord knows that
right.
Better king is coming, okay? You're not Chris, sorry.
God does not break a covenant.
No, he does not. Yeah, he makes a covenant, he makes a promise, he gives his word, and there's nothing men can do to stop it, or change it, or alter it, or make him decide, well, you know what, that was a bad idea. So what's the big deal then about David? Well, to me, number one, he's part of the scheme of redemption. It's not just that God wants to give us a history of ancient Israel. That's not so much his point. His point is, remember after Adam and Eve sinned, Genesis 3:15, God gives a little hint there of something that he's going to do to help man. But it's not until Genesis 12:3, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And we know that's eventually fulfilled in Christ. He's the one who's going to bring the promised blessing of Abraham to the whole world. Now, the development of that promise includes many things, including kings. And in particular, a Davidic-like king. Okay, so why is God doing that? Because, I didn't do that right. See, the Messiah is going to be a king. And he's going to be a king like David. And then he will bring that promised blessing into the world. So that's what's going on here. God's just showing the development of his story. He made a promise, and he's going to keep it. And at the right time, he'll bring all its fulfillment. But there's a lot of details that he wants to reveal along the way. He doesn't do it all at first in Genesis 12. He takes his time. He's not in a rush. I mean, if I had a meeting with the elders here and said, brethren, I think a really great plan for the Savage Street Church of Christ. It'll take 4,000 years for it to play out, but I think you'll really like it when you see it. I don't know what your response would be, but you know, but that's kind of what happened. You know, so 4,000 years means it's not dependent upon man, and these men are not working together to bring this about. It's clearly of God, because you see, well, even David. In fact, right here in this text we just read, while David was a good man and he loved the Lord, you know, it did say that he walked in God's ways except for what?
Uriah.
Except for in the matter of Uriah. And of course, that's just a broad term because it's also with his wife Bathsheba. So, you know, without getting into a big, long, detailed thing about it, he's just saying, well, here's David did fall down here, but his heart was always loyal to God. He never turned to idols or anything of that nature. Okay, so now 9 through 24. Here is Asa.
Okay,
yes, sir.
And so you think it's just a generic thing because there's other things, you know, that David didn't do right either other than just that. It's that it says, you know, holy in that. You think it's just a generic term for, I mean, like he didn't keep the lamp, rest, commandment, or numbered his mighty men, other things like that.
Right, and I've often wondered about that, and the only thing that I can figure is that in this, okay, you take those other things you just mentioned, I think it's only in this matter, which again would include Bathsheba, so murder and adultery, that's where he's worthy of death. As far as I can tell from the land Sabbaths and like you say, the numbering of Israel and so on, those I don't see where those would come under the death penalty, but he definitely did here. And he thought he was going to die, and God said, or Nathan speaking for God said, the Lord's put away your sin. So if God had taken his life right here, Solomon never would have been born. And all these men that we're reading about in Judah never would have been born. So for whatever reason, God wanted to keep him alive to preserve that line. Of course, he has the prerogative to do that if he wants. So that's kind of the way I have resolved that in my mind. Yeah, exactly. Chris?
Doesn't this also play into Abraham? Because if you cut off some of the family lines, then you'd be essentially cutting out seeds from Abraham.
Sure. I mean, you can see in the scriptures where God, first of all, picks Abraham, and then the promise goes to Isaac, then to Jacob, then to Judah, and then you've got several generations, and eventually you come to David, you know, and then of David's son, it's going to go to Solomon. So yeah, this is the way that he wants it to go, so even David himself, a man who's right in this line here of the seed being passed along, even his sin cannot keep God from fulfilling his promise. So that doesn't mean it's okay, of course, because David suffered pretty bad for it.
Right. He took his son.
Right, he took the son that came from him and Bathsheba. And plus, from that point on, he had enemies, he had war. One son kills another son that did the killing there tried to take over the kingdom. And so I'm sure he may have thought sometimes it would have been better to have died. anyways, okay, so now 9 through 24. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel. Now, how many years did Jeroboam reign?
22.
All right. Asa became king over Judah. And he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was, and we've already seen, you know, who Abijam's mother was, that it was Maacha, the granddaughter of Abishalom. And it's interesting that she's being mentioned here, because with most of these other kings, she's not, the mother is not being mentioned. 11. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David. Although, when you get into Chronicles, you will see something major that Asa did. But for the purposes of this book, the writer doesn't bring that into play. So you have to understand what is the purpose that he's, you know, doing right here. And I think it's merely this right here. 12. And he banished the perverted persons from the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. Also, he removed Maacha, his grandmother, here she is again, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. Okay, so remember we mentioned last week, or maybe it was Sunday morning, that there was another queen, a woman who may have made herself queen, and she was a grandmother and did something pretty awful. So it's too bad these grandmothers here are given a bad name to grandmotherhood. Anyways, she made an obscene image of Asherah, and Asa cut down her obscene image and burned it in the brook Kidron. That's just amazing to think about. A grandson has to do this with something that his grandmother made. That's how low Israel or Judah had become. Wow. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all his days. He also brought into the house of the Lord the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. Now there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah. That's where Samuel was from. That's his city. That he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and gold that was left in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the treasuries of the king's house and delivered them into the hand of his servants. Now remember when we looked at Solomon? We're talking about a lot of gold and silver. And now the gold shields are gone. Remember, we saw that last week, the last lesson. But he's taking all that gold and silver now. Watch what he does. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of, Tabrimon, the son of Hazion, almost looks like Verizon to me, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you a present of silver and gold. Come and break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. He attacked Ijon, Dan, Abelbeth, Mecha, and all Chinneroth, that's the area of Galilee, and with all the land of Naphtali. Now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and remained in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted. And they took away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building. And with them King Asa built Geba or Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. The rest of all the acts of Asa, with in all his might, all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? But in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. And that's where the book of 2 Chronicles, I think it is, comes into play. I'll let you know, there's a little problem. The writer here just hinted at it. You may be thinking, okay, well, why does it say diseased in his feet? But it became a big problem for him, okay? And someday we'll look at that. You know, I mean, your feet, I never imagined that your feet can have so many problems. There was one time here a few years ago where I counted 7 different problems I had with my feet. And I'll tell you what, you suddenly realize, oh my goodness, you really need those things attached to your legs. You know, and right now, as I'm sitting here, I feel neuropathy. And if I walk back and forth, I can just feel the neuropathy in the bottom of my feet. And believe me, that's not a good feeling. You don't want to get neuropathy. Not that I got it on purpose, but... Okay, so 24. So Asa rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place. And it's interesting that he mentions him, but we're not going to see Jehoshaphat until much later, okay? After this guy here, we look at the kings of Israel. Okay, so how long did Asa reign? 41 years. The first king that went beyond Saul, David, and Solomon. Remember, each of them reigned 40 years. And of course, going beyond that one guy who only went for 3 years. You know, we're going to see a king maybe tonight who reigned 7 days in Israel. Can you imagine that? 7 days. Okay, so how does this portion of Scripture summarize the reign of Asa?
good light, I would say.
Definitely in a good light. Verse 11 says it all. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he did it like David. And what signs, from that point on, does the writer give for saying that Asa did what was right? Like, in other words, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and here's six things to show you what he did right. Starting at verse 12. Yes, and that's not the first time we've read this in this text. Another king has had to do the same thing. Okay? So, he's banishing Okay, I was going to say if I can make it short, I'll just say perverts. Alright. What's the second thing?
Removed idols.
Removed idols?
All of them.
All of them?
All the idols that's smaller, maybe.
Okay. What was that?
He removed his grandmother.
Okay, is that in that list right there?
Yeah.
It is, okay, yeah. Removed grandma. Grandma, how's that? Aren't grandmas supposed to be sweet people, I thought? Say that again?
Even evil people get older.
Yeah, I guess so. You're right. And have children who have children. What else?
Cut down the absolute image and burn it. Oops.
Did I spell obscenity right? If I didn't. Right there? Right, and usually the high places is, along with under every green tree, is the way the Old Testament often described idolatry in Israel. So it must be that he did something to the idols, because we just saw that. But as far as the setup that they have there, altars and whatever, he must have left those intact. Now, I'm not sure why he did that. Maybe he thought it was enough to get rid of the idols. I mean, you can only do so much. So maybe that's what it was. Phil, you said something, I thought. It says that he was loyal to the Lord all his days. And then, what was the last one? Yeah, so he restored the precious metals, you know, the gold and the silver and stuff. So, what existed between Asa and the king of Israel the whole time he was reigning as king, it sounds like?
War.
Wow. And how did Asa stop it?
He made a covenant with someone else.
Made a covenant with someone else, and that someone else, he wanted him to do what? Break the treaty with Israel. So there's the king of Syria has a treaty with Israel. The king of Judah says, break your treaty with him and then join in with me. And gives him a huge amount of money to do so. So it sounds to me like the king of Syria is not motivated by anything other than, well, it sounds like he's it's a mercenary nation. Whoever pays me the most is where I go. Okay, so and what did Asa do with Baasha's building projects?
Tore them down
and built two other places with it, yeah. Pretty amazing, huh? All right, 25 to 32.
Don?
Yes, sir. Oh, does it? Okay, so in verse 10, what does your verse 10 say?
And his mother's name was Maica, the dove.
Okay, and then what about verse 13? You know, it's interesting that the King James did it because back in verse 11, they refer to her as his grandmother.
In 11?
Yeah, in 10.
Oh.
Verse 10 in the King James refers to her as his grandmother, but then you just said verse 13 refers to her as his mother. Oh, it says his mother up there too. And I wonder if it could be, like for example, I was just going to say, like verse 3, talking about Abijam, he walked in all the sins of his father, which is going to be Rehoboam, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. So there you have in the same verse, referring to two men as his father, when actually, what was David to Abijam?
Great-grandfather.
Is it great-grandfather? Because you have Abijam, Rehoboam, Solomon, and then David. So yeah, that was his great-grandfather, yeah. That's the only thing I can figure on, maybe, on that. Tim? Yeah, it does say there his mother's. Yeah, so there. Abijam's mother is this woman. So that would mean Asa's. To Asa, it's his grandmother. Yeah, okay.
In 12, it talks about and remove all idols that his father's. Without an apostrophe, for, so
in
plural, fathers have made.
Yes, right. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
When we say our forefathers.
Right.
We're
yeah. So I think it's probably referring to a.
This is done a lot in the Bible.
Pardon?
This is that way of
referring to him. Yeah, right. Like for example, I don't know if anybody picked up on it, but in my sermon. I don't know if it was this past Sunday where I referred to Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar. But in the text it says he was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. But we know from history that he was actually his grandson. And so yeah, the Bible, especially the older translations, don't refer to grandfather or grandmother. It was just always father or mother of so-and-so. Okay, so 25 through 32. Now Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, became king over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin by which he made Israel sin. Then Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha killed him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. While Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. Baasha killed him in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. And it was so, when he became king, that he killed all the house of Jeroboam. He did not leave to Jeroboam anyone that breathed, until he had destroyed him, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he had sinned, and by which he made Israel sin, because of his provocation with which he had provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. All right, so how did the Lord fulfill his word that the entire household of Jeroboam would cease to be? By who? By this Baasha guy. So God, I don't know, either God knew this would happen or he caused it to happen or whatever, but he said it was going to happen and it happened. But now let's watch what he does. Okay, chapter 15, verse 33 through chapter 16, verse 7. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha, the son of Ahijah, became king over all Israel and Tirzah and reigned 24 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam. Hello? And in his sin by which he made Israel sin. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, "Inasmuch as I lifted you out of the dust and made you ruler over my people Israel, and you have walked in the way of Jeroboam and have made my people Israel sin to provoke me to anger with their sins, surely I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat. But dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Baasha and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the fields." Now the rest of the acts of Baasha, what he did, and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Baasha rested with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah. Then Elah, his son, reigned in his place. And also the word of the Lord came by the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha and his house, because of all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord in provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed them. Okay, so what was the message from Jehu to Baasha? What was that?
He was going to be killed also.
Okay. And notice in verse 4 that God has this prophet say the same thing to Baasha that he said to Jeroboam. Whoever dies in the city of your family, what will happen to him? Dogs will eat him. Whoever of your family dies out in the field, what will happen? The birds will eat him. It's like this guy didn't realize what Jeroboam had done, how the Lord used Baasha against Jeroboam, and then he just continues what Jeroboam was doing.
Seems like live and learn wasn't around those days.
All right, 8 through 14. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah the son of Baasha became king over Israel and reigned 2 years in Tirzah. Now his servant Zimri, commander of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and struck him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. Then it came to pass, when he began to reign, as soon as he was seated on his throne, that he killed all the household of Baasha. He did not leave him one male, neither of his relatives nor of his friends. Thus Zimri destroyed all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they had sinned and by which they had made Israel sin, in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. Now, the rest of the acts of Ella and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So, would you say the kings of Israel are paying for their sin? In a big way. And notice what's happening here. The writer is picking up the pace. You know, we spent a lot of time on David, a little bit less on Solomon, a little bit less on Rehoboam, and now that we're dealing with Israel, it's just boom, 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 boom. Because the only thing to say about them is they lived this amount of years, they sinned like their fathers before them. In fact, we're going to see where it's going to start saying they sinned worse than their fathers, and so God removes them. Okay, so here's Zimri now, 15 to 20. In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri reigned in Tirzah 7 days. Now, in those 7 days, he killed all of Baasha's household and his friends. And the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. Now, the people who were encamped heard it said, Zimri has conspired and also has killed the king. So all Israel made Omri, and the truth is that was a rumor, that wasn't true. Zimri's still alive. So all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. Then Omri and all Israel with him went up from Gibbethon, and they besieged Tirzah. And it happened when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house down upon himself with fire and died. That's why he only reigned for a week. Because of the sins which he had committed in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he had committed to make Israel sin. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri probably takes two paragraphs. And the treason he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? 7 days!
Takes you a while to kill.
Yeah, a few days, I guess. I mean, you can order everyone to do all that, but anyways. Okay, so 21 through 28. All right. Then the people of Israel were divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Timni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people who followed Omri prevailed over the people who followed Timni, the son of Ginath. So Timni died and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, how many different kings were there during Asa's reign alone? You know, it's either Proverbs or Ecclesiastes says, because of the sin of a land, many are its princes. And that's exactly what you see going on here. So somebody who's got your electronic device, if you can find that passage, it just now occurred to me that that said. Something like, because of the transgression of the land, many are its princes. Okay, so in the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel and reigned 12 years. 6 years he reigned in Tirzah, and he bought the hill of Samaria from Shemer for 2 talents of silver. Then he built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built Samaria, after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill. Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did worse than all who were before him. For he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin by which he made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and the might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. Then Ahab, you've heard of him before, his son reigned in his place. So Omri is the one who gives us the capital of Israel, which is Samaria. And you know that comes into play in the New Testament. Now let's look at this, almost down to the second to last verse, 29 through 33. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel, and Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. More than Jeroboam, more than his dad. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took his wife, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. And yet, later, something will happen, and he'll humble himself before God and repent for a while. Okay? Oh, yeah, I've heard that song. So what action does the writer point out as making Ahab's sins worse? On top of everything they did, he did this. Why did he serve Baal? Someone encouraged him to do it, I think. Jezebel. Now, is that a good name in the Bible? Oh, man, her name just is equal with wickedness. Okay, so she was a Sidonian. Okay, let's look at the last verse, 34. In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Segub, he set up his gates, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, isn't that something? Here we are reading about these kings, and all of a sudden the writer throws that in there. Because you probably forgot about it as you're reading through the Bible story. God didn't forget about it. Okay, so that's in Joshua 6:26 where that promise is made. That curse is actually uttered, I should say. But what I want to know is how many years between the stating of the promise, of the curse, and then it being fulfilled. Joshua took over the leadership of Israel in 1405. So that year or the next year or whatever, they went in and took Jericho. And Ahab began to reign in the year 874. So how many years is that? What was that? 531 years. I'm going to put plus because I don't know that guy tried to rebuild Jericho as soon as Ahab became king. Over 500 years. God said whoever, through Joshua, whoever puts up, was it the gates or the foundation? Okay, so whoever lays a foundation will do it with his firstborn. In other words, his firstborn child will die. And with his youngest son, when he sets up the gates, he'll die. I don't know if Israel remembered that. I don't know how much they read scriptures that they had at that point. But the Lord doesn't forget. Isn't that amazing? So it takes over 500 years for it to happen. If you go back in our history 500 years, what year are you talking about?
We're not in the U.S. The United States is not here. I don't think they even play.
Well, but just here, what year are we going back to? Well, that would be 400 years. So you've got, wouldn't it be 1516 if it was 500 years, right? Plus another 31. When did Columbus discover America? Okay, so you're going back even before that. So imagine something that happens here before Columbus discovers America, and God says, this right here, and it finally happens in this generation. Can you imagine that? All righty. Thank you, folks.